Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going past the browser window, way down into the foundational infrastructure that keeps the world's email running.
Yep.
We've gathered a really deep stack of sources for this one. Technical security docs, open source mailing list protocols going back decades, and some high-level corporate product pages.
And our mission here is really to demystify this whole enterprise email stack. We're diving into a veteran mail transfer agent, an MTA called SendMail.
Right. And this isn't just about how an email gets from A to B. It's about how these massive organizations, the ones that handling billions of dollars of data, make sure they can absolutely trust the software they run.
And not just the software, but the messages themselves. We're going to break down these cryptographic tools, things like PGP and DECOM, and they're not some, you know, exotic defense. They're essential, completely non-negotiable building blocks for trust.
So if you've ever wondered what really separates your standard email service from the backbone of global commerce, well, you're about to find out. We're giving you a shortcut into this high-stakes world.
Our goal is to give you a clear, structured intro to all this so that even if you're new to infrastructure security, you'll walk away with some real insights into the systems you use every single day.
And before we get started, this deep dive is proudly supported by SafeServer.
Mm-hmm.
SafeServer handles the crucial hosting of this kind of complex software, and they assist clients worldwide with their digital transformation roadmaps. They really make these huge infrastructure transitions manageable. You can find out more at www.safeserver.de. Okay, let's unpack this. We're talking about SendMail, a name that's, I mean, it's pretty much synonymous with open source email.
It is.
But our sources really focus on the commercial version. The Centrion platform.
Yeah.
Why is that one specifically called out as being, and this is a quote, not for everyone?
That phrase, not for everyone, is, it's the clearest signal of who it's for, organizations with just gargantuan messaging needs.
Okay.
SendMail itself is an open source platform, but Centrion is the hardened, scaled up enterprise engine. It's built for these huge, complex environments.
So if a company has, say, 100,000 employees or they're a global bank, they can't just run a basic server.
They absolutely cannot. No way. They're facing these huge long-term technical challenges. They need a platform built to handle a messaging roadmap that might last a decade.
Wow.
We're talking about supporting critical tasks like virtualization, which is running multiple servers on fewer physical machines, or consolidation.
Merging a bunch of smaller systems into one big one.
Exactly. Merging numerous regional systems into one secure global entity. And of course, the big one today, cloud migration. Centrion is just designed to sustain that kind of scale and evolution without failing. It's the industrial grade workhorse.
And just for context, the sources are really clear about the pedigree here.
Mm-hmm.
The current open source core, the engine that powers even Centrion, is SendMail 8.18.2.
Right.
And you can download it as a zipped tar file right from ftp.sendmail.org.
And even the way it's distributed tells you something, right? It's a raw package. It implies that the people running it aren't using some simple installer.
No point-and-click setup here.
Not at all. They are building mission-critical infrastructure from the ground up, and that requires some serious technical diligence from the engineers.
Which brings us to the first huge security challenge, trusting the source. If you're downloading a raw package that's going to handle every sensitive piece of data in your multi-billion dollar company, how do you know it hasn't been, I don't know, intercepted and messed with?
This is where we stop relying on human trust and start relying on pure mathematics. The solution is cryptographic integrity.
Okay.
Specifically, using PGP signing keys. Every single SendMail distribution is digitally signed. This signature is created with a private key, and you verify it against their public key, which is named something like SendMail Signing Key 2026.
And this isn't optional, is it? It's a mandatory check. The source material uses some very sharp language on this.
They do. The documentation explicitly warns, and this is a direct quote, if the signature does not match any of these keys, you may have a forgery.
A forgery.
That is the single non-negotiable threshold.
Yep.
If that signature doesn't match the public key you expect, you cannot install that software. It could be anything. Malware. A backdoor. You just don't know.
What I found fascinating is the history here. They list the current key fingerprint, but they also document this continuous traceable chain of trust that goes back for decades.
All the way to 1997.
Right. And they even reference the key used by Eric Allman, one of the original developers, before version 8.8.6. Why does an organization today care about a key fingerprint from 25 years ago?
That's the core of enterprise longevity and compliance. Trust isn't just about the newest version. It's about the entire historical timeline.
Because
a company runs a system for 15 years and an auditor comes in and asks them to verify the integrity of the code they used a decade ago, they have to be able to trace that cryptographic signature. This historical record of fingerprints, like the 2025 key starting with 0323-12C7, establishes that continuity.
So they can prove, years later, that everything was authentic.
Precisely. They can prove every component of their system was authentically sourced from the trusted vendor.
So the PGP key is basically the software's cryptographic passport. It verifies its identity and integrity across time.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so we have a trusted server, but that server sends out millions of messages. How do we make sure that those messages are equally trustworthy? The trust has to shift from the code to the payload, right?
Exactly. Trusting the server is step one. But what happens when a message leaves the organization? Or what if a bad actor compromises just one account and starts sending things? PGP on the server won't help you then.
So what does?
That's where we transition to DKIM, or Domain Keys Identified Mail.
For our listener who might be hearing DKIM for the first time, how should they visualize this? If PGP is the software's passport, what's DKIM?
DKIM is the official, unforgeable wax seal on the envelope of the message. It's an internet standard RFC 4871, to be specific, that lets the sending domain digitally sign their messages.
And that signature is embedded right in the email header.
Right in the header.
And what two core security promises does that digital signature make to the person receiving it?
It delivers two things instantly. First, authentication. The receiver can verify the message genuinely came from the domain it says it came from. So no more address spoofing.
That's huge. And the second?
Integrity. The receiver can mathematically verify that the message content, the headers, and the body has not been altered since it left the signing server. This is critical for stopping those man-in-the-middle attacks where someone changes banking info or a delivery address.
It's just a fundamental defense against phishing. I also love that the sources point out this wasn't a solo effort.
No, it was a recognition of an industry-wide problem. DKIM was developed through cooperation between SendMail, Cisco Systems, and Yahoo.
That's quite a team.
It is, and it shows how early these major players realized that message verification needed to be a universal standard to maintain trust in email as a whole.
And the open source community kept that ball rolling. The sources mentioned the Open DKIM project.
They did. After the standard was adopted, the OpenDKIM project started. It's a community effort that produces a C library and an open source mail filter, a milter.
A milter.
Oh.
It's like a plugin that processes email traffic.
Sort of, yeah. Think of it as a modular tool that filters email at key points. And OpenDKIM provides this capability. What's interesting is it started as a code fork of an older SendMail developed package. And now, it's the standard DKIM implementation that ships with the Centurion message processing engine.
Okay, so we've secured the foundation with SendMail and PGP, and we've secured the content with DKIM. Let's zoom out to the broader context. All of this exists within a larger corporate environment, often managed by security companies like Proofpoint. What are the modern concerns in that ecosystem?
Well, the modern shift is huge. Historically, security was all about the perimeter firewalls, filters, that sort of thing.
The castle walls.
The castle walls, exactly. Today, the focus is squarely on the people aspect. The industry calls it human resilience.
Human resilience, acknowledging that the employee clicking the wrong link is your weakest point.
Yeah, precisely. The sources detail things like threat protection and data security, but human resilience is the key. It's about driving behavior change, increasing risk visibility. They realize that no amount of PGP or DKIM can stop someone from giving away their password in a sophisticated social engineering attack.
So tools like ZenGuide, which the sources mentioned, aren't just about those annoying annual security videos we all have to watch.
No, they're actively measuring and trying to modify employee risk behavior.
Oh.
Yeah. They aim to move the needle on human vulnerability. Instead of trying to block every single threat, which is impossible, they focus on minimizing the impact of the threat that inevitably gets through. They're modeling risk scores based on who clicks on phishing tests, who reports them. It's a huge philosophical shift.
It really is. Okay, shifting back to the nuts and bolts of the SendMail community itself, Let's talk about the rules of engagement. Even this highly technical world has these rigid, almost ancient protocols for reporting security issues. What happens if a server admin finds a zero-day flaw?
They can't just send a quick email. The procedure is deliberately slow and secure. First, official advisories are issued globally by organizations like CERT.
Okay.
Second, server-related security problems have to be reported to a dedicated confidential email address. Send mail security-yyyy at support.sendmail.org.
And the crucial part, you have to secure your own message.
Absolutely. Security reports must use PGP encryption. It ensures confidentiality so vulnerability details don't leak while a patch is being developed. They simply will not process an unencrypted critical report.
And that's a hard line between that and just general support questions, right? You can't mix those up.
No, you can't. Non-security questions like setup advice or how to avoid spam are strictly sent to the public Usenet group, comp.mail.sendmail. It keeps the security channel clear for actual threats.
And if you look at their communication rules, they are incredibly strict. No HTML, no proprietary formats, plain text only. Why the insistence on these, legacy standards?
It links directly back to stability and backward compatibility. The systems reviewing these patches are often ancient, stable, non-GWO systems. Modern conveniences just introduce fragility.
They break things.
They break things. By enforcing plain text and 7-bit ASCII in the subject line, you eliminate the risk of encoding errors that could mask a malicious payload or just break the parsing script on their end.
So if your fancy email client adds one little HTML tag, your crucial security report just gets trashed before a human even sees it.
Exactly. And it goes even further. They do what they call strict RFC checks. They'll actively reject mail if a domain's MX record points to an IP address instead of a host name.
Which might work sometimes, but it's not the rule.
It's not the rule. The protocol demands a host name. If you deviate, your message is blocked because that deviation could signal a misconfigured, untrustworthy sender. In this world, conformity to decades-old standards is everything.
It really reinforces that idea that true security often relies on stripping away layers of complexity that modern software keeps adding.
Absolutely. Simplicity, defined by strict protocol, is the ultimate security feature in this ecosystem.
That brings us to our synthesis. We've done a deep dive into Sendmail Centrion, the workhorse of enterprise email. We detailed the two pillars of cryptographic trust. PGP keys to verify the software itself.
And DAMM, the standard that verifies the message content and the sender.
And finally, we saw how enterprise security has pivoted to address the human element through what they call human resilience.
The takeaway really is that security isn't a single product. It's a layered architecture built on non-negotiable standards and decades of diligent tracking. It's a world where continuous cryptographic verification is the only way to establish trust.
And for a final thought for you to mull over, consider those strict communication rules again. Plain text, no challenge response systems, strict RFC checks. These are the communities that literally keep the internet's core communication flowing. So why must they rely on such rigid, seemingly simple standards just to communicate? It highlights that when the stakes are highest, precision and stability will trump every single modern convenience.
Indeed. It's a powerful lesson.
And finally, a big thank you again to our sponsor. This deep dive was made possible by SafeServer. They handle the hosting of complex software like Sendmail and support your digital transformation initiatives. You can learn more and find resources at www.safeserver.de. Join us next time for another deep dive.